Well, my suspicion was that most people were upper middle class, although it seemed like there were some people that were there on scholarship. I was there almost entirely on scholarship, so it felt like it felt like there were a lot of rich kids around, but it really didn't affect me on a day-to-day basis because it wasn't that I socialized so much, you know. So things like that come out in either how people dress or how they spend their money in the evening or what restaurants they go to, and so I didn't notice that much.
What did you think about feminism while you were a college student, and what do you think about it now?
Well, I was and still am a feminist. I think I was intellectually interested in feminism beginning in the late 60s, and then because of my personal life experiences, getting pregnant, getting married, getting divorced, that really made it very powerful and personal that how important it was to be able to get equal pay for equal work and have equal opportunity. So I was quite a feminist, and I was also very pro-choice for the same kind of reasons. And because I was a parent and living off campus, I didn't join any Lafayette activities, but I did do volunteer work at the Planned Parenthood in Easton as what they called a patient educator before the women went in to see the doctor. It was really to learn about contraceptive options and that sort of thing. So I was, all the college students that college, there were a number of Lafayette women that were involved with that. And the women that did that were all very committed feminists. So that was a nice little support group.
Do you know at all what the campus opinion on Roe versus Wade or birth control was? Or any among the women, or even your personal reaction?
Well, I think among the women, there was definitely an interest in reliable and safe and affordable contraceptive options. Most of the women that I was friendly with were pro-choice, and I'm sure not all the women were pro-choice, but a lot of them were interested in that sort of thing, and everybody knew that, the word was out that Planned Parenthood was a place to go to get reliable information, and that was also when Our Bodies Ourselves came out as a book. And so I think there was a lot of interest among the women in terms of taking more control of your body and having choices and not having to rely on male gynecologists.
Do you think that having more female instructors would have affected your Lafayette and post-Lafayette experiences?
Well, it would depend on who the women are. I mean, one of the two professors who was very discouraging about my career choice was a woman. She was an older woman who had set ideas about what women should do and shouldn't do. So if there were more of her around, that would have been bad news. So they would have to be women who weren't sexist. Although, you know, there's the just having women of all sorts and beliefs is would be helpful.
What do you think the Lafayette ideal was in the early 70s?
The ideal. Oh, I think it, well, you mean ideal as stated by the college or what most students aspire to?
Most students.
But most students aspire to, I think, because most students were male, it was to work just hard enough to get good enough grades to get through and to party a lot and then when they finish be able to make money. Sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Do you think that ideal has stayed the same today?
I think it's changed a lot. I really do. I mean, I think that the tolerance for immaturity in one's fellow students has gone down a lot, and students are more mature. I mean, there are still a lot of people who want to do just enough to get through and have a good time. But I think that there are more and more people on campus that are interested in other things, artistic endeavors, volunteer activities. I think there's more of an openness to ethnic and cultural diversity, at least from what I see around them when I'm there and talk to students. So I think the ideal has improved.
How would you characterize the political atmosphere of Lafayette when you attended?
I think it was pretty centrist to right wing in general, with a minority, but a vocal minority of left wing people. Verging on hippiness.
Do you think that's changed today?
I don't know. I really don't know. It seems like they're probably, I mean, I hate to use the terms right wing and left wing or conservative and liberal. But I don't know what other terms to use. My sense is that when Lafayette were to be characterized politically, it still would be considered more centrist to right than left.
What did you do right after graduation?
Right after graduation, I got a job because I needed to earn money. Because I did buy pre-med courses late in my career, junior and senior year, instead of earlier, that meant I could not take MCATs until later. So I was really forced to take a year off between college and medical school. Which I didn't mind at all because I thought it was good because it would give me another year with a little more time with my son before I got really tied up with the work of medical school. So I got a job as a bank teller because I was staying in Easton, and that was sort of the best thing I could get with my philosophy major from Lafayette, and I knew I only wanted a one-year job, so I did that, and it was a very slow bank, and while I worked there, I remember reading the complete works of Sigmund Freud. Don't ask me why, but I think it's because I had some idea at the time I was going to be a psychiatrist, and I thought something I should do is awful. and then spent the fall applying to medical school, which is a project in them.
What medical school did you apply to?
At that point, I was remarried and had married a professor at Lafayette. So he was up for tenure that year, and since college jobs were hard to get, if he'd gotten tenure, he definitely wanted to stay there. So I limited myself to schools in Philadelphia and New York with the idea that I would have a commute. So there are 5 medical schools in Manhattan and there are 5 in Philadelphia. So really in
and which school did you end up going to?
Ended up going to University of Pennsylvania.
Can you describe some of your experiences there?
In terms of academics, it was even more hard work and even more smart people, which was good. The atmosphere was definitely more collaborative than what I found among the pre-meds at Lafayette, in that they said, and I suspect pre-meds at Lafayette weren't different from pre-meds anywhere else, because when we all started at Penn, the first thing the dean said was that nobody had to be competitive anymore, because since we were admitted there, they knew that we were smart enough to get out, and they'd help us get through, and so we could all just work together. And that was very nice. So that was the atmosphere at Penn. The other good thing at Penn was that they were at a time looking at their admissions and their admissions policy, where they had made this very interesting, I think, decision to have a diverse student body. And probably because they had so many applicants, they had, they had 400 people with an A in organic, then they could say, well, let's take someone who got an A in organic and is also a poet, which is basically what they did. So it made me, I think, a more attractive candidate because I was a philosophy major. And my good friends in medical school were people who had, one had been a concert pianist, and one had been a ballet dancer in Manhattan, and one had been a stockbroker. So there were a lot of diversity in background, which was nice, and a lot of smart people, which was nice, and collaborative atmosphere, which was nice. There was still sexism, but it was very different than Lafayette, because it was almost never the students. At Lafayette, it was mostly the students, and not the faculty, at least not in the classroom. But at Penn, if there were any male students who said anything sexist, they didn't say it again because everybody else, including the men in the class, was the class, I think, was 2/3 male and 1/3 female. And the men were even more feminist than the women were. So that was really neat. There were a couple very sexist male professors. And I'd never experienced that in the classroom at Lafayette. As I said before, never had any negative experiences in the classroom. But there was an anatomy or physiology professor who started the lecture with a Playboy slide. And there are about 140 in my class, and he was booed so loudly. I mean, if people had rotten eggs, they would have thrown him at him. And 2/3 of that audience was male, so it wasn't just the quote-unquote women's libbers who were upset. Everybody was, and so that was an interesting experience. And I don't know if the male students were so different because a couple of years had gone by and more men were becoming attuned to the concerns of a feminist, or whether it was really a different subcategory of male student than they had at Lafayette, but it's interesting.
Did you feel academically prepared?
My short answer is yes. My long answer is yes, I was very academically prepared. But in one way, I wish they had warned me at Lafayette about what medical school would be like at Lafayette in the sciences. It was very much, well, understand the concepts and ask questions about the concepts, and the tests would be open book, and you don't have to memorize all the details because, you know, that's silly and stupid, and you just learn the principles. Which is terrific as more of a humanities person. That makes sense to me. I mean, in organic, you had to memorize a certain amount of junk, but for the most part, it was more that attitude. So that's how I started medical school. And in medical school, you just have to memorize a tremendous amount of stuff. So, but I realized that after the first test in physiology that I bombed, is that now you can't just have a rough idea of the general concepts. You really have to know every single little thing. So once I realized that, then I changed my study style. But overall, yeah, I think it was very well prepared.
How did it work out for you having to commute to Philadelphia?
Well, that was stressful. That was very stressful, especially having a child. We lived halfway between Philadelphia and Easton in Doylestown. And my son was 5 when I started medical school. And if it hadn't been for my husband, I don't know what would have happened. I really feel like I was not home for the next 5 years because it was just a brutal amount of work for the 4 years of medical school and an internship. And then finally, things eased up a little bit after that. But it made it extra hard, and a lot of nights I didn't come home at all. I just stayed at a friend's apartment, and there were days on end when I wouldn't see my son. It was rough, and of course I still felt guilty about that. So I joke that I'm probably one of the few people whose medical school was harder than internship, because it really took up more of my time.
In 1982, you opened a women's medical office on Pellet Hill to help serve Lafayette women. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, that was really a continuation of my association with Planned Parenthood. I had done volunteer work at Planned Parenthood, and I was very interested in what they were doing in terms of educating and providing health care for area women. And the woman who was the director of Planned Parenthood at the time, Marcy Lusardi, approached me with this idea when I finished my residency to do this. And it was, the reason to do it on College Hill was because the women students at the time, as well as the women students when I was going to Lafayette, didn't feel comfortable going to student health, primarily because of the personnel, and I think that's changed a little bit now, but back in the 80s that was the case. So it was to offer another option to women students on campus, as well as the women in the College Hill community, and in particular women who may have less financial resources. So it was supposed to fill a niche that would be, say, somewhere between the clinic or student health and a private medical practice.
Do you think if you hadn't have had the experiences of marriage and motherhood that you would have been able to have the drive to accomplish all that you did?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that whatever I decided to do, I would have followed through with it. And at first I was going to say that if I didn't feel the motivation to have a financial independence, maybe I would have done something that either took a little more training or was less financially remunerative, like getting a PhD in literature. But then on the other hand, I think a lot of my drive to become a physician was also because of the experience with my mother's dying and death. So, I don't know. Who knows what would happen if things were different in the past. But my personality is such that I'm pretty determined to succeed at, or to do as well as I can do it, whatever I decide I'm interested in. So.
Was there anything at Lafayette that you were unhappy with?
Unhappy with? Well, I was, I guess, unhappy that there weren't more women students. I was definitely unhappy that I was blatantly discouraged from considering medicine by faculty who didn't even know who I was. So those things I didn't like. I didn't really like the fraternity atmosphere of that most of the social life revolved around fraternities. I mean, I've been saying that I really didn't get involved socially because I lived off campus and was a single parent, but there really wasn't that much to attract me to the social life. I mean, I didn't want to go to a keg night. I mean, I was beyond all that. But I did have some interesting friends who were interested in things like getting art films and jazz concerts and things like that. And I think if there had been, there was one fellow in particular who was like a one-man, you know, try to make an alternative social scene at Lafayette, and he is a very interesting guy. If there had been more of that kind of social life, or more left-wing political activities, or that sort of thing, I probably would have done more socially on campus. So I think it was very, very limiting socially for people that might be. I kind of felt sorry for the co-eds that wanted to do something socially on Friday night because they weren't going to be awesome.
Since we're interviewing you for an oral history project, we think that you're being in the first class of women to graduate after 4 years was historically significant. What do you think about this?
Well, probably was historically significant in some small respect. One would like to think that things that you said or did when you were there perhaps made it easier for the women to follow or made things better in some way. Or at least the fact that we got through showed that it wasn't such a dumb idea to make the school co-ed and that they had made the right choice.
If you could do your college experience over again, is there anything at Lafayette that you would do differently?
Well, if everything else were the same, in terms of my personal life, I probably wouldn't have had the time or energy to do anything differently. If I'd been there without a child, I think I probably would have done more to help start or organize some different kinds of social activities or political activities.
Is there any advice that you have for Lafayette now?
Advice? Well, I think Lafayette is definitely headed in the right direction in terms of really trying to make the place more racially and ethnically and culturally diverse. And I know that they feel strongly about raising the academic level, which is great, as long as you make it have diversity in the academically talented people. And I think that so they're making a good start in that regard. I think abolishing the whole Greek system would be a great idea, and other schools have done that. I think another thing that would be very helpful would be to, they've done a great job in beefing up the art program, but I think now they should turn their attention to some other more neglected aspects of the humanities program, such as perhaps the music department. That's one that comes to mind. Whereas if you want diverse people, you need to pick people who are diverse to begin with, but you have to have a diversity of academic and social offerings to attract these people to go to the school. So I think we need to focus on that too.
Is there any advice that you would give to an incoming college student?
Try a lot of different things. I think that's probably the most important thing. I think the biggest mistake that a college student can make is to think that college is vocational training and they should just be focused on what they can do to get a job. I think it's one of the few times in your life when you have the luxury and the ability to explore different things. And even if you know what you want to do, it doesn't follow from that, then you should take all courses in that one area. I think that really, that's the heart of a liberal arts education, is to open yourself to a lot of different areas. I mean, looking back, I wish I had taken an art history course, and I never did. Or even an economics course at the time. I thought, yuck. But no, that's a good thing to do at that time in your life, because you'll never really have time again. And then I guess along the same line, as well as exploring different things academically, explore different things socially and in terms of hobbies and people, and just try to expand yourself and be open to different things. Work hard, have fun, all that stuff.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention?
I don't think so. No, I think we covered everything.
Okay, thank you then for participating.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I don't know how to do it.